Chapter 1. The mist floated through the air as Erica stared out at the horizon. Lights dotted the coastline in the distance that was slowly drifting by. The constant slapping of the paddle wheel carried a beat in her head. She envisioned her young son, Daniel, dancing to the rhythm, his blonde hair bouncing in the sunshine. In August of this year, he would be 11. Erica cursed this life that had caused her son to grow up much faster than he should have. All of them had, for that matter, she thought to herself, shaking her head in disgust. In her heart, she wanted to be home safe with him. But now, she didn't know if she would ever see him again. Erica squeezed her eyes tightly as they began to burn. Whether it was from the intense emotions or the constant barrage of the salt-laden mist, Erica couldn't tell. It was for the better, she told herself. It had been a joint decision between her husband Vince and herself. They had no other choice but to leave Daniel with Vince's parents when they left. On the run from the federal governing board was not a journey they wanted to take a small boy on. Besides that, Erica knew it would be easier for her and Vince to blend into the crowds without him. Mom, a voice from behind Erica called. Turning at the sound, Erica saw her daughter. At 19 years old, Star was gorgeous. Her golden blonde hair was tied back in a ponytail to keep it from thrashing in the wind on the deck. Her sinew body rippled with muscles that flexed with each step. Erica was so proud of the life Star had carved out despite a lifetime of trials and tribulations. "Hey, Star, what's up?" Erica inquired. "I've been looking for you everywhere," Star explained. "Come on, there's someone I want you to meet." Erica followed Star's long legs across the wooden planks on the deck of the paddle boat. They were traveling down the Mississippi Sea. After the great quake, the ocean seawater had flooded the river, swallowing states and connecting the salt water through to the St. Lawrence Seaway. The Great Lakes in Michigan had been flooded with seawater, devastating the ecosystems. With the worldwide oil shortages, steam-powered paddleboats took travelers up and down this new seaway, if you could get the clearance from the government to travel that far. Erica's ears rang with the sound of Star's husband's band rocking a rendition of Aerosmith's Back in the Saddle Again as they passed the concert room. The crowd cheered furiously, and Erica could see her son-in-law, Sean, was having the time of his life up there on that stage. His light brown hair thrashed in the air as he pumped his fist and sang his heart out into the microphone. He and Star had gotten married 2 winters ago while they were stranded in a cabin in Montana. Erica and Vince had approved of the match. They felt he was an honest man with a solid work ethic and a passion to entertain. Descending the tight stairwell to the lower level of the boat, Star led Erica to a thin cabin door. Inside, she found Vince. He was wearing a baseball cap like he normally did, and his curly hair barely peeked out under it. His hazel eyes housed yellow stars around his pupils, and she watched them focus on her as she entered. He had been conversing with a caramel-skinned man with short black hair. Rippled with muscles, his large body turned, and his green eyes met hers. Erica stammered for a moment, consumed with his masculine look and pheromone lace scent. "This is Melvin Sanders," Star introduced the strange man. His chair rolled back as he got up quickly from his seat. Walking over towards Erica with his hand extended, he declared, "And you, ma'am, must be Miss Erica Moore." His eyes sparkled, delighting in the experience. "In the flesh," Erica replied. "It is truly my honor, ma'am," Melvin said respectfully. "I'm happy to extend the resources of the Texas militia to help you on your journey south." Vince was confused. "Texas militia?" "Yes, sir, the federal forces could never take southern Texas. And the refugees that have escaped have formed networks of their own militias across the United States. After all, we are Americans. We have the right to defend ourselves from all threats, both foreign and domestic," he explained passionately. "I bet the federal governing board doesn't share your opinion," Erica commented. "You got that right, ma'am. They would have taken our land years ago if the citizens of southern Texas had allowed it. But that's neither here nor there. The governor of Texas would like to meet you. I'm prepared to take you and your husband to meet with him.